Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, PO Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone number 0703-036-3659, 0808-5150-610, email address lsmedia@livingseed.org, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
We are going forward to still be looking at the man God uses. And we are going to take one scripture that you've known already as a take-off point of the man that God can use. The Lord Jesus, in the book of Matthew, made a very categorical statement that we have to consider together again tonight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? And mammon. Now, this truth forms a critical basis in God's consideration of a man he can use. And so we are going to look at the willing. I'm not talking of W-I-N. I'm talking of W-E-A-N. Do you know the meaning of that? The willing of a man for God. Before God will ever use a man, he must win him from all other masters. Before God can commend himself unto any man, because it is not possible for any man to serve two masters at the same time, the precondition for God to use a man is that he has been weaned from every other allegiance, from every other matter, from every other project of his life. And so this night, I would rather focus on the process of winning a man from all other petty masters that render him useless unto God and for eternity. And because You cannot serve God along with another God. Several people are not usable as far as God's service is concerned because they are trying to serve two or three or four or five masters at the same time. So tonight, I will be looking at several men that were weaned for the master's use. Weaned for the master's use. Because of this important fact, which I want you to keep at the back of your mind, that God Himself knows, and he is fully convinced that no man can serve two masters. He will either hate one and hold to the other, or else he will hold to this one and let the other one go. It is not possible for you to serve God and mammon. So every time God desires to use a man, the first thing God does is to win him, is to cut him off, is to take him away from the things that ties him down, either to the world system or to the kingdom of darkness. And I cannot see you being fully used of God until you have been weaned. The weaning process may not be the same for every man because we are not attached to the same thing. But there is a winning process that is common to all. A winning from the life of sin. That's the first winning that I will be talking about. Winned for the master's use from sin. Hallelujah. If you turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, please. There are many verses we are reading tonight because I need to illustrate this message with several lives who have been weaned in order to become something for God. John chapter 8. Are you there? Are you there? You must move very fast. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ confronted some people, and as he preached, as he shared the word of God, we were told that as he spoke these words, many believed on him. In verse 30. Then in verse 31, he said to those Jews that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Shall set you free, shall make you free." Then they made a response. They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" That's a very important place for us to begin for tonight. Now, when Jesus Christ began to say to them, say, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Some of them said, sorry, we are Abraham's seed. We are descendants of Abraham. We are people that have inherited the covenant. We are the people of God, circumcised on the eighth day. We are the people that the law and the oracles were delivered unto us. We are Abraham's seed. We are not one of these bastards. How can you be saying again, you must be made set free? Made Jesus to make some starting declaration that I want to drop with you before I go. Jesus answered them, verse 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever does what? Commit sin is the servant of sin. Will you please read that for us from NIV, New International Version, verse 34, with a loud voice? I tell you the truth. Everyone, excuse me, everyone, what's the meaning of everyone? What's the meaning of everyone? Everyone, be he a pastor, be he an evangelist, be he a deacon, be he a pastor's daughter, everyone who sins, yes? It's what? Who is that? Some people who sin. Many people who sin. Most of the people that commit sin. What did the Bible say? Everyone that sins is a slave unto sin. Sister, go ahead. Talk. Are you hearing the scripture? What did he say? Now, a slave has no permanent place, no permanent abode, no permanent portion, no permanent seat in the family. But the son belongs to him forever. Thank you. I think we should go over it. Everyone who sins, everyone who sins, who is talking their place? How did Jesus start that statement? Verily, verily. What is the meaning of verily, verily? Truly, truly, certainly, assuredly, without any iota of doubt. And if anybody say, who told you? Say, I say unto you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now, a slave does not have a permanent place. Where? In the family. Let me stop now. When I hear Jesus say something that is serious, I don't know why you will not pay attention. You start going around for things that are not important. Here Jesus says, everyone who sins is not just a passerby. What the Bible calls him is a slave to sin. And a slave has no permanent abode, no permanent place in God's family. I will want to ask this question generally tonight. How many slaves are here today? How many slaves are occupying pulpits? How many slaves are Sunday school teachers? How many slaves are singers? How many slaves are helping us to beat drums? How many slaves are helping us to collect offerings? How many slaves are sitting tight as if they will have a permanent place in the family of God? Jesus said to you, make I no deceive you. That's the meaning of verily, verily. Say, make I no deceive you. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And you know that slaves don't abide in the house forever. It means there are some people you see in the family of God today. They are secretly serving Mr. Sin. Do you know what I hear Jesus say? He says, very soon, you will no longer see them. Their place will soon become vacant. Hear me, please. Who is a sinner? Please define it for me now. Who is a sinner? A sinner is he who sins. You don't know that. Do you know that now? Who is a sinner? Any man who sins. If he is a pastor that is committing sin, what is his name? He's a sinner. You are the one who calls him pastor. You are the one who says reverend. You are the one who says evangelist. What do they call him from there? He's a sinner. And as a sinner, who is he? He's a slave to sin. And slaves don't have a permanent abode in the family. Even if you hide it, sometimes you are so afraid that your sin will get to the notice of the church leadership because they may want to excommunicate you, so you hide it. But excommunication from a church building is a small disgrace compared with expulsion from the family of God onto the outer darkness. Ever before God can use a man, he has to win him from what? From sin. What? Sin is a matter. What I discovered about sin is that sin will approach you as if it is a one-time experiment. Don't fall to his trap. If you fall into his trap once, you thought you would just do it and quickly come back. Once you fall into the trap of Mr. C once, what is he trying to do? He's trying to establish a rule over your life as a slave. Do you know that the moment you start telling lies, either to cover up certain thing or the other, the normal tendency is that you will always tell lies. Is it true? If you have never fornicated, I congratulate you. But once, as a young man, you went into fornication, do you know what that thing does? It is always pulling you to go. Those that started a wrong habit when they were in Form 3 at the age of 14, have they been able to stop that habit today? And they are now doing their master's program. Why? Sin is a master. Once you enter into his net, once, he wants to enslave you. Because sin is a master. And everyone who sins is a slave to sin, except you are weaned and cut off from the tyranny of sin, you will always be a slave. There's no two way about it. And so the Bible said, you will call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? He will save, he will deliver his people from their sins. That's the first thing Jesus does when he comes into anyone's life. I am afraid that some people say, yes, oh, praise the Lord, I have seen Jesus, amen. He's able to do all things, but he has not delivered you from sin. I wonder what Jesus you meant. And I wonder who is preaching to you, and you are feeling comfortable in God's family, and you are still a sinner. You know, sometimes it bothers me that for 52 Sundays a week, I mean 52 Sundays of a whole year, all that you are hearing is how you will make it, how you are an overcomer, how you are victorious, how you are more than conqueror, how you are going to be a millionaire. And sin has quietly remained your master, and you are feeling happy. I don't envy you. Do you know why? A slave does not abide in the house forever. If you put a million naira into the hand of a slave and is enjoying it, what will happen? He will perish with whatever he has when it is time for his master to pull him out. My brother, permit me to disturb your conscience tonight. Are are you a sinner? The issue is not a matter of argument. I think that scripture is very simple. He who sins is what? A slave to sin. And now, a slave has no permanent place, no permanent abode in the family. That's the first thing. Need for the master's use. And the first master from whom every man that God will use must be weaned is what? Is Mr. Sin. Note that I have not talked of Satan. Are you hearing me? Please note that I have not talked of Satan. Satan is not your master. But Satan is an exploiter. Satan and sin, they are in very strong alliance. Satan only comes to sit on top of a man whom sin has already made his slave. And whensoever you want complete deliverance from Satan, that is a very simple issue. Let's deal with the problem of sin. The word of God says in John, 1 John chapter 3. Read 1 John chapter 3 for me and read verse 5, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. With a good voice. Yes? Now, wait, sister. Don't be tired. Keep standing up until we have got what you are reading. Repeat for us. And you know that who was manifested? Jesus was manifested to do what? To take away our sins. And in him, in Christ, there is no sin. Wait, please. Do you understand that? That we know, all of you here, you know, that Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. But that in Christ, inside Jesus, there is what? There's no sin. It's like we are here in this hall now. We are in this church now. Is there any beer in this church? Tell me, please. So can anybody get drunk inside this church? I'm not hearing you, are keeping quiet. Why not? Because here, there is no beer. If anybody wants to drink, what do you think he has to do? He has to say, excuse me, there is something I want to drink and it's not here. Permit me, sir, to do what? To quickly go and drink. When I get it, I will come back. If anybody suddenly fell down in this church and he got drunk and he was vomiting alcohol, let me ask you, was he in this church? Could anybody have got drunk inside this place? No. Now the Bible says, in Jesus, there is no sin. Are you with me? So in Christ, because there is no sin, there is also nobody who can be in Christ and he will be committing sin. Are you hearing that? Anybody who is committing sin, what must he do? What must he do? He has to go out. There is no sinner in Christ. Every sinner man you see, where are they placed? They've gone out. Do you think you can be in Christ and be beating your wife? I'm asking you. It's not possible. Whensoever you want to beat your wife, do you normally know what you say? Say, let's put the matter of the Bible aside. This is not the case of Bible. Let us face reality. Is that not so? Don't think you can be using the Bible to cheat me here. I want to show you my true color now. Yes. I don't care. Go and report me to pastor. What is that brother doing? He's going out. And when you are finished, your eyes may open. Say, you will only come back and knock. Open for me. No, I will not do that again. Lord, I will not beat my wife again. The reason why some of you don't know the gravity of sin is because death did not meet you. Some of you, you play with sin as if sin sends men to hell because it is big. Does snake kill a man because he's a big snake? Eh? Why does snake kill? It's because of the venom. Every sin, no matter how small, is capable of sending you out. The power of sin actually is not in its magnitude. It's because before you can sin, whether small or big, you have to go out. And when you go out, the door is closed. Coming back is only by the grace of God. Verse 6, sister, go ahead. Anybody who does what? Who abides in Christ does not do what? Anybody who sits down inside Jesus does not sin. Go ahead. Anybody who is committing sin has not seen Jesus, he does not know him. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. The man that is doing righteousness is the righteous person. Listen. You know why the word of God says that? These are days when I hear people claim, they say, yeah, I am righteous. I'm righteous. You see, our own righteousness is of Jesus Christ, and they are committing sin. But let me tell you again, whosoever is committing sin does not know Jesus. You cannot know Jesus and he will not deliver you from sin. And any religion, any activities that does not set you loose from the master sin has not started with your life. What drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden? What is it? It was sin. It was sin that made God to put the cherubim with a flaming sword, turning left and right, to protect the tree of life so that they will not touch it. It was sin that plucked out the eyes of mighty man of God, Samson. Are you hearing me? It was sin that wrecked David, even though David was a man after God's own heart. You remember that at old age, brother David was driven out of his palace. What drove him out? It was sin. Sin knows no man. Everyone that is committing sin is a slave of sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. If anybody come and shake and say, "Oh, it is well with you, I can see all over you the glory of the Lord," and you're a sinner inside, he has not seen anything. He's a soothsayer. He's a soothsayer. He's not telling you the truth. The Bible says, "Say you to the wicked, it shall not be well with you." And for a man to be used by God, he has to be weaned from sin. I'm not talking of being weaned from big sin. Whether sin is big or small, it has ability to enslave. Every sin has the capacity to enslave, even if you are a giant. If sin will come to your life once and it will leave you alone, maybe I will have said, "All right." Even that one is dangerous, because one time may be your end. But much more than that, sin doesn't come with one-time agenda. It comes with a program of enslavery. Are you hearing me, brother? Every time sin comes, he enslaves. Sin has power to addict. Those that are drunkards today, do you think they plan to be a drunkard? Eh? Don't you think that they told themselves, "Let me just drink this one cup"? Sin normally begins with a cup. Just a cup. I have one friend. He used to be my friend. We were to serve together when we were coppers. He was supposed to be my zona rep. Eh? For someone to be the zona rep of a whole zone, you know, he must be a serious Christian in those days. When people like me, we will be in the same zone and he will be our rep, you can be sure that he must not be a careless man. And we pray so much before we put him there. And we were to serve in the same place. The first problem happened when the official vehicle that will carry coppers came. And all the unbeliever coppers, they don't want to enter into the same bus with me. They said, no, we don't want that belay. It will cause confusion. So they were rushing into the other car. If I went there, they said, "No, I'm not coming to this car again." So I suddenly discovered that they were running away from me. So I just went and sat in a car. And then they all were running. When their car was full and there was no space again, they reluctantly came and joined me.
And of course, as they were entering, I started again telling them of Jesus. But my friend went and sat on the other side. When we arrived, his thousand people, you know, something association. You know those associations that you used to attend sometime. They went and welcomed him. Say, you are welcome to this place. You are a new person here, and we have to conduct you around. And so they took him to an hotel. All along, he kept his Bible. He did not open it and told them anything. He told me that when they got to the place, they served them food. And they were to eat. And they were eating. He said, there's no sin eating food. And then they started bringing beer. He said, no, I don't take beer. Then one small girl came and said, that girl must have been a harlot. That girl said, how can a whole you say you? Are you afraid? Even me, a woman, I'll finish two bottles. And she opened it and poured it into a cup. I said, we are not even asking you to pay. If it is money that you are afraid of, no problem. She said, you just said, how can he be disgraced before a girl? Just decided that he will just drink that one. After, he will not try it again. Do you know? It is many, many years now. He has not stopped drinking. He's so haggard and wretched. He has lost a lot. His life is wasted. When I see him, I say, bro, Billy, God, you are going on me. You see, I'm here. I say, you know what took you there. You need to repent again. Sin does not come with one-time agenda. Are you hearing me? Every sin, no matter how small. Do you know that if sin comes to your life just by introducing you to movies on the television, do you know what he's planning to do? What is he planning to do? He's planning to make you an addict. Unfortunately, you just find that every time you are looking for it. And this happens to every man that sins. Do you know why Judas Iscariot forfeited his place in the service of God? Do you know why? Do you know that Judas Iscariot had already answered a full-time call? Do you know that Judas Iscariot had already been listed? His name was already among the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Are you following me? Do you know that Judas Iscariot has already obtained a ministry? The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 that this man has obtained this ministry with us. Do you remember that story? Do you also remember that Judas Iscariot, when the Bible said all the apostles of the Lamb, their names will be written in the New Jerusalem? Do you know that there was one gate that they have already planned to write Judas Iscariot? What happened that Judas Iscariot lost out? It was sin. And sin did not come to him big. It came to him small. When he started to borrow money from the church purse. Treasurers, are you here? May the treasurer position you are holding in church, may he not send you to hell in the name of Jesus. Every time you write, I owe you, and you take church money. You started by taking 5 naira. it was your daughter that was crying to you one day, and you felt, oh, but there's no money here except this church money, and you reach out, you took it, I will replace it, was what you said. You replace that one, and we praise God. But next time, it was your father-in-law that just came without notice, and he was going to go back. He said, but how can I send my father-in-law empty-handed, and they have not paid us my salary? That's how you reach out for 500 naira. And from 5 naira, that's how you started borrowing, until you can no longer give account to church money. Anytime they say, we want to have a church account, you say, well, you see, I am very busy. You people, you should know that this thing is very, very tedious and complicated. And I need some time to be able to do everything. You know, after all, nobody pays me for it. Brother, that's how Judas Iscariot left too. Sin doesn't come to a man's life with a one-time agenda. Small. Judas Iscariot left until one day they offered him, how much is your bill if you can reveal Jesus to us? Maybe he thought it will not be a problem. That's how he exchanged Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I know that wherever Judas is today, this is how he is watching. And I know. Every time Judas Iscariot sees Apostle Peter, Apostle John, when they raise the cripple, Judas will just nod his head and say, I will have been there. You know, I had a portion from that ministry, but money took it from my hand. Everyone who sins, what did the Bible say? Is a slave to sin. If sin is something you can commit once and you will quickly come back, it won't be a problem. But let me tell you, every trip onto the land of sin, can I explain to you, is a trip that has no end, except God will stop you on your track. As a believer, if you go and have a little romance with sin, you are going. That is the truth. You find that if you start to enjoy an undue fellowship with sisters, which is not right. At first, you never planned that it will become something. Nobody always planned that it will become something. Did you always plan that it will become something? No. But sin has a plan. Is a plan to possess. Can I tell you, brothers, sin does not use a man and drop him. Sin is sticky. How many of you have passed through some bush before? And there are some small, I don't know the name of that. Do you call it tridax? Eh? There was one kind of plant like that. Once you pass through, they will do what? They will stick. They are like thorns. Small thorns like that. They just stick to your body, to your dress. 3 days, you may keep pulling it. Because as you remove like this, it will stick to your hand. When you want to throw it away, you fall back into your dress. If you pull another one, it will stick again. So it's an endless job. And that's the nature of sin. For a man to be a man that God can use, he must be weaned thoroughly, cleanly, clearly from what? From sin. Brother, If that has not happened, you don't have a permanent place in God's family. Regardless of everything you are doing, in case you are confused because when you pray in tongues like this, things just happen. You say, yes. If sin actually is a problem, why is God using me? Don't be confused though. Don't be confused though. The name of Jesus is credit worthy anytime. Hallelujah. If you call that name, it will work. But that has nothing to do with you. A slave can be in the family for a while, using family wares, using family name, using family properties. But when time comes, what happens to the slave? He is sent out. That's why Jesus Christ told them, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Friend, I'm taking too much time talking about winning from sin. But to me, if a man is weaned from sin, every other attachment of his life becomes very easy. Are you weaned? Man of God, don't play with me. Are you a deliverance preacher? You always deliver any kind of thing. Let not deliverance lead you to play with sin. It will slaughter you and make you a shadow of yourself, even in your lifetime. May God help us in the name of Jesus. So let's read the final conclusion on that matter. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Will you please help us read verse 19? Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It has this seal. Those that belong to God, Baba, know them. Everyone that names the name of Christ, let him do what? Depart. Wind from iniquity. When it is time to pray, if I were you, every little incursion of sin that may remain around you, don't hide it. What did the scripture say? He that covereth his sin shall not do what? Prosper. What's the meaning of prosper? He will not progress. He will not see good. He will not make profit. It will not be well with him. Everything you cover today, sin doesn't come to say thank you for covering me up. In fact, every thank you that sin wants to say to you is to bite you and slaughter your life. When it is time to call on God, expose it and say, Father, don't let sin make me useless. Don't let sin make me an ordinary slave who had no permanent abode in the house. When I see a preacher man committing sin and his ministry seems to be progressing, I don't envy him. Do you know why? One of these days, sin will disgrace him. Sin will scatter everything for him. Everything will come to the ground. Bam! He will have to start from the scratch if at all he can gather up himself. Don't let me hear you say, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God told Cain, he said, sin lies at your door. And you must do what? You must master it. Don't come with that foolish explanation. We are all weak. The Bible says you have not yet resisted sin to the shedding of blood, like my master did. What is this thing? It is better to shed your blood than to yield to sin. No matter the pressure, it's better to die than to sin. Are you hearing me? It's better to shed blood, your blood, than to yield to sin. Sin comes with a flash, but behind the flash is the change. Sin will present a flash to you, but if you go quickly for the flash, before you know it, Shiku, he has put a chain on your neck and is dragging you. Let him depart from what? Iniquity. Wind for the master's use. But the first master that God wins every man he wants to use from is sin. He said, for God has promised that he will deliver us from the hand of our enemies, that we may serve him. How? Without fear, in holiness and righteousness. How many days of our lives? All the days of our lives. That's what must happen. But when we stop the matter of sin, God goes forward to win a man for his use. We are going to look at various points of winning that God organizes for the man he wants to use. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, where we encounter the man Abraham when God planned to use his life. Now, I would like you to look at chapter 12 quickly, verse 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will do what? I'll show you. When God wants to make use of a man, he wins him not only from sin, not only from the negative powers of sin. God several times wins his servants from every other affection. Are you hearing me now? God wins those he plans to use even from other affections. And we see God confronting Abraham here. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. By you and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. But you cannot do that while you dwell among your kindred. The men that God used several times, at one point in their lives, you see God demanding to cut them off from what will look like their mainstay, the affection that they have grown up with, the things that have become so precious to their lives. God is saying, I want to use you. I want to use you. I want your life to become something in my hand, and I cannot share you with someone else. I cannot share your love with someone else. I cannot share your affection with something else. Get thee out. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that Abraham obeyed, not knowing whither he goeth. Do you remember that? Those men that became mighty vessels in the hand of God, they had to be weaned from several things. And as we are looking at Abraham here, it looks so easy to read, but it's a very difficult point. He was to leave those that know him and those that he knows. He was to leave his landed property only to enter into a land as what? A sojourner. You only need to study the scriptures that for 62 years that this man left Kadesh unto a land that God said, I will show him. He had not yet possessed a plot. And the climax came when his wife died. His wife fell down dead, and there was nowhere to bury the woman. The Bible said, had they been, they were not persuaded of what God told them. They had opportunities to have done what? To have returned. What an opportunity. He will have said, God, I used to be a landlord in my father's house, and you are sending me out here to go and be begging for 6 by 3. I'm going home. And it will have been a 3-day journey to go home. No problem. Do you know that there are some of our tribes, if somebody died in Zaria, you must not bury him here. What will you do? You must go home, no matter what it will cost you. But Abraham waited. And before they measured for him what he was to use to bury his wife, he had to pay. So he bought a cave, the cave of Machpelah, where he buried his wife. But that's not only time that God weaned him. When he got attached to Agar, you remember Agar? You remember that small girl? Eh? Who came to confuse the family of the man of God? When he went down to Egypt, I hope you remember, on his way back, he picked Agar as a house girl. Very small girl that time. I was thinking that Agar has not yet grown her breast that time. She's a very young, innocent girl. But she's from Egypt. Anything you take from Egypt, it will grow in your hand. But as it is growing, and I imagine as Agar was growing, she was becoming robust. The beauty of a teenager began to come out. The man of God occasionally will sit back like this and say, God. Because you see, for me, how will Abraham, just by the suggestion, how will he lose 10 years of working with God in 5 minutes? It has been happening small, small. Don't you think so? Every time Aga is called to come and fetch water, as the girl is coming, I say, Aga, bring me that water here. Man of God, his eyes is beginning to go around. So the man just suddenly fell. Nobody suddenly falls. All that fell, they fell small, small. It's only that you didn't know when they were beginning to fall. The last stroke that broke the camel's back is the one you used to know. But the camel's back was beginning to fall and break small, small before that one. Several times, Uncle Abraham would call Agar about 5 times in 20 minutes. And he kept saying, Kai, if not even this, well, Thank God. We praise God for everything. So one day, as soon as Sarah, I don't know what happened to Sarah. He said, well, my own don't finish. That guy is there if you want. He did not even say, let me go and ask God about it. That was a man that we know him to make many altars. On that occasion, no altar, no prayer, no checking. That same night, Baba went and landed on a small girl. I wonder why it did not occur to Abraham that this small girl could have been your granddaughter. But he went. And as soon as, and you know when the devil wants to deal with you, your first step into sin, he will make sure. Are you hearing me? He will make sure that something indelible takes place. Several of your friends may have been going in and out, sleeping with people around, nothing happened. The day you will do your own, that same day you will be pregnant. He said, but this is my first time, and I did it only for 10 minutes. You don't know the devil. He's looking for something with which to catch you and make sure you cannot escape. The Bible says, that's how Agar took it. And for the next 13 years, Uncle Abraham became useless. No prayer, no record, nothing. Quarrels in the family. He has never abused his wife before, but this time, quarrels. Before God could use him, he needed to be weaned even from Agar. God came and said, Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. I don't know anything about this Agar and about this Ishmael. It is your wife Sarah that I'm going to make a covenant with you over. Do you know that day that God was speaking to him? If he had surrendered Agar, if he had surrendered Ishmael, do you know the whole issue will have finished? I don't know whether Ishmael will have been alive today. But this man prayed a very dangerous prayer. Do you know what he said? He said, oh, that Ishmael may do what? May live before you. God said, I have no program for Ishmael. He is not my will for your life. He said, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Ishmael is living today. I know, you know, there are many things several of us do. It may not hinder you from going to heaven because of the grace of God. You will suffer, but you will get to heaven. But when you get to heaven, it will become a sad memory in your life. I don't know how Abraham will feel today. Every time he looks down and sees the problem of the Arabs and the children of Israel, you know what Abraham will say? Say, Name me Costa. I wish I never went into that Agar. And I wish when God told me to drive him out, I have allowed him to go. I wish when God said I don't want to have anything to do with him, I wish I did not even circumcise him. And every day, Abraham looks down and sees the persecution that Islam is bringing against the gospel of Jesus all over the world. It's not only in Nigeria, all over, all the countries I have gone to. It's a terrible problem. And Abraham said, Nami Kosa, I wish, but that is too late. Sir, you need to be weaned from every attachment before God can can use your life effectively. And if you allow the winning to take place now, it will be easier. What God is asking you to drop that you could not drop today, in 10 years time, do you know it will have grown? Do you know that? And do you know that it will have been more sophisticated and complicated? By the time Abraham was going to be weaned finally, it was with pains. And for Abraham to be what God wants him to be, he even needed to be weaned from Isaac. Do you remember Isaac? Isaac became the idol of his heart. Isaac became his only affection. Isaac became his exhibition stick. Anywhere he is going, he go with Isaac as his show. Come and see what the Lord has done. One day God said, Isaac, that Isaac whom you love. See the way God protested there? That Isaac whom you do what? Whom you love. Take it. God wins men in order to use them. I'm coming to a very technical issue now. You see, I'm not talking about sin again. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about going back outside there. I'm now talking about the issue of affection. They may not even look bad. They may not even be wrong. They may not even appear sinful. But they hinder you from being used by the Master. And I must say to you quietly tonight that the more God wants to use a man, the more he wins him from everything that could share his heart. The story of Abraham and Isaac was wonderful. God said, take that Isaac, your son, whom you love, take him to one mountain. I will show you and slaughter him as an offering. I don't know what Abraham did that day. He must have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He must have bind all the devils. He must say, it can't be God. God gave me this Isaac after about 25 years of continuous fasting and prayer. How can that same Isaac be a burnt offering? But the more he prayed, the more he heard God. See, that's how I used to talk to you, you know. Don't twist my voice now because it is Isaac. Give me that Isaac. Otherwise, my journey with you will terminate. And Abraham, after much prayer, he conquered that issue and took Isaac from his heart. Are you getting me? And Isaac now is by his side. No more in his heart, but by his side. And they were going. And as they were going, they got to a point with the other servants. God said, this thing I'm telling you to do, sympathy will not allow you to do it if you don't leave these people. It comes to a point where God must win your life even from sympathizers. Hallelujah. When God purposes to use a man, he will even win him from sympathizers. He will even win him from those who try to shield you from the dealings of God on your life. And we saw how he told those men, said, please, wait here. I and the lad will go yonder and we will worship. He knew in his heart that Isaac was gone. In fact, as they were going on the road, he was looking at Isaac as already dead. Isaac on the road asked him a very terrible question. He said, "My father, this is the fire, this is the knife, this is the wood. Where is the lamb?" That was the question that would have made the man of God to collapse. But he technically answered, he said, "The Lord will provide. Let's go." When they got there, the young man was waiting for God to provide. And as they looked left and right, here and there, Abraham seemed to have said, "Since God has not provided something else, you are the one." And I imagine how Isaac must have been looking at his father with great amazement. Say, "I hope you are not mad." The boy must have said, "Daddy, I hope you are not confused. Are you talking? You mean you want to kill me?" You know, the boy is not a small boy now. He's at least 12 years. Say, "Daddy, you mean you are going to slaughter me? Is this how much you love me? I thought you used to tell me that you love me." And Abraham must have said, "I used to love you, but now he is demanding for my affection. You must be weaned from my heart." And as he was carrying the rope and was tying the boy on top of the stick, every wrap of the rope, the young man is asking, "Baba, are you all right?" He said, "Yes, I know what I'm doing." Every wrap of the rope, he was bringing out the old affection he had for Isaac and was tying it to the stick and making room for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And what does the Bible say? Baba was waiting. God did not intervene. He was watching until he finished tying everything. Do you know that in the heart of Isaac, he has lost a father? Now Isaac can no longer look up to Abraham. He can no longer say, "My father cannot do that." Is there? If not for God, I don't know where I would have been today. So as they are going, Abraham also, he can no longer say, "Oh, Isaac, I love you." You know it would be an hypocrisy. You love me and you wanted to kill me. So forever, he had been weaned. Isaac lost a father. Abraham lost a son. The affection that Isaac had for Abraham died and was transferred to God. And from that day, Isaac knew that I'm living on a borrowed time. Whatever God had in mind to spare my life from the hand of this my father, I better pursue that purpose for God. It will come to a time when God may want to win you from your certificate. Some of you, the way you so much are excited about that your certificate. When God wants to use a man, he wins him from every other thing so that God becomes your only treasure. He has a way of doing it. Moved for the master's use. Hallelujah. Not only Abraham was weaned from his Isaac. Before God could use Moses, God had to win him from the palace of Egypt. God had to take away from him what Egypt used to mean to his life, so that he can be ready to walk with God. Samuel was a young boy that was weaned from his parents in order to know God. And Paul of Tarsus was a man that was weaned from all his academic attainments. He said, all things that used to begin to me, what did I count them now? As lost. As I stop here tonight, those that the master used, they are weaned. Weaned from worldly affection, weaned from worldly pursuits, weaned from everything that shares their heart from the master. And I perceive, this is where I'm stopping, that for God to make something tangible out of your life, I want to tell you that God's own service, to be used of God, is more glorious than to be used of the government of this world. When the government have finished using you, they will dump you. But when God takes a man's life, the reward is not only in time, it is in eternity. The reward is not only in your lifetime, but your generations. He said to the children's children, to the children's children, up to how many generations? The fourth generation. I want to plead with you as I stop here. As I ask you, those that the master used, they are weaned. Weaned for the master's use. Weaned from everything that the world system has to offer, so that your heart can focus on God. But like I started saying, the first issue where God must win a man's life is the matter of sin. When that has not happened, every other winning cannot take place. And it is of no use, even if you leave your certificate, if you leave your job, if you leave your house, if you leave your land, and you say you are going to serve God, and you have not been winning from the inner master, Mr. Sin, it's a waste. It's a waste. Sometimes I used to say, oh Lord, you should pity this man. He has left many things. He has supported the gospel so much. He's the one that bought this for the work of God. He's the one that did this, the one that did that. As if that was enough to atone for the problem of sin. No. Sir, sin will make all your sacrifices of no use. As we go to God in prayer, I want this conclusion to be as solemn as possible. I want this conclusion to be as clear as possible. I want you to pray with a clarity of heart. I don't want you to look left and right and be comparing yourself with people who say they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. I don't want you to say, but yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm not the only sinner in town. Don't keep company with the multitude and kill your life. The way I have seen God over years, I have known that God can do without the majority. When God came down in the world of Noah, how many of them were saved? How many plays? Eight. From how many families? From how many families? Just one family. So please, he did it before, he can do it again. When sin has not left a man, he's a slave. And if a slave continues to abide in the house for some time, it's a matter of time, he will soon be gone. My only prayer, are you hearing my prayer now? Don't please embarrass us when we get to heaven. What did I say? Don't embarrass us. Don't allow us to get to heaven hoping to see you. And we say, oh, praise God, we are expecting. Brother Benga, one of the most serious brothers we have around. Say, Benga. Benga. We don't know him here. Lord, you are making a mistake. Check your record. You could not have known 10 people. And you don't know Brother Benga. Benga is one of the very, very, very zealous man. Lord, don't do that though. Check your other record. He said, no, we don't keep many records. We only keep one book for those that have been saved. And if his name is not in this book, it will be in the other books. Don't embarrass us. Don't let us get to heaven with excitement only to discover that you are missing. Finally, open your Bibles for me and read the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 5. 24 and 25. Help us read from Living Bible. You can do something about it. Yes? In other cases, only the judgment day will reveal the terrible truth. In the same way. So, remember that some men, even pastors, lead sinful lives. And everyone knows it. In such situations, you can do something about it. But in other cases, only the judgment day will reveal the terrible truth. Even if you are a pastor tonight, and you know that sin has put you in his pocket, in that situation, we will know what to do about it. We can pray, can't we? We can cry to God, can't we? We can repent and God will forgive us, can't we? But on the day of judgment, don't let the terrible truth be revealed. Don't let it happen on that day that the sister that was impregnated, and we were wondering who pregnated that girl. When we were trying to communicate that girl, not knowing that you are the one who did it. Don't let it happen that something you covered today and you wreck your life, it is on the judgment day it will now come to open. Rather, why don't you expose yourself to God tonight? Let us finish the issue. And may God help you in the name of Jesus. Will you stand up as we talk to God? For the master's use. For the master's use. For the master's use. I started by talking about winning from sin, winning from affections, winning from several attachments, winning from worldly pursuits, winning from the master's use. Shall we pray together? This is only a little time we are going to spend in this prayer meeting. We have heard a lot. Wait as we pray together. Let's conclude this as we talk to God for yourself. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. Thank you because you have come again. Thank you because you have come again. The man God uses. A man that has been winning for the master's use. Because no man can serve two masters at the same time. There's no slave that can serve another master except he is first of all delivered. Holy Spirit, I ask tonight, be gracious unto us. Be gracious unto us. Do your work in this congregation. Make it an eternal work.
Lord, let this this evening, let it be a memorable event that we will forever remember with joy, that God sent forth his word and it set us free from every entanglement that will have rendered our lives useless. Holy Spirit, I ask tonight that the light that delivers, the light that dispels darkness, let it shine strongly upon our spirits, upon our souls, in the name of Jesus. I ask tonight that your voice will be so strong within our hearts that all murmurs of self-will will not be able to silence it. Holy Spirit, I ask tonight that this your people with whom you start in the past few days, hours, to reason with us about how you plan to use us and set our lives on course. I do ask tonight, let nothing hinder us from responding to your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let no shame hinder anybody from opening up unto God, who is able to do beyond what a man can do. When you sent Jesus, you knew that except seed is destroyed, he will always make a man a slave. So the Bible says, for this reason the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. This night, Father, I ask, bear your name among us. So we shall call your name Jesus, for you will deliver your people from their sins. Bear that name Jesus among us here tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. God. And we are not dealing with things that are apparent. We are talking about those things that are not known. We don't want judgment to reveal the terrible truth. We will rather allow you to clothe us now. To clothe us now and to cleanse us. Than to go out here as an hypocrite. Every hypocrite is a poor soul. Living a double life. Smiling on the outside but crying inside. Lord Jesus, deliver us from double lies in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, time has come. The altar is open. The throne of grace where we can obtain mercy is open. The blood is flowing. There is a fountain. There is a fountain flowing from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner man plunged into it and is saved to sin no more. Lord, I ask, this river that flows by the altar, the lava